Hey everybody, it's the Loop Mechanics Podcast. Your hosts Bealus and Scormus are here to ramble on for a while about video and tabletop games, or whatever nonsense comes into their twisted little minds. Then, if you are very lucky, they will crawl off back under the rocks from whence they came, only to return again, like clockwork, next week. Seriously, these idiots are more unavoidable than death or taxes, and much less pleasant to endure. Anyway, enjoy the show, if you can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bealus.
So, anything interesting going on with you this week?
Well, Wednesday, No Man's Sky dropped another expedition and update.
I saw that. Wasn't it Leviathan?
Yeah. And I gotta tell you, they went from one of the best expeditions they've ever done, even though, I mean, it had bugs and stuff. The pirate one was fun. This one, somebody got the brilliant idea to make it a survival mode, which, if you die, you start all over.
Huh.
I don't find that fun.
No.
I'm halfway through, but I don't find it fun. Just knowing that if you screw up once, and since it's survival mode, you can't carry nearly as much inventory. You can't, because of the way they're doing the expedition, they don't want you to get a lot of nanites and buy all your S-class upgrades from the vendors. They want you to do the event or do the expedition where you get these memory fragments, that you use those and you get upgrades that way.
Right.
And all these memory fragments you get are level C, which is, you know, the worst you could get. But if you do if the optional events go off, then they get upgraded to B, then A, then S, then X. And what I don't like about it is the fact that you've got to do things where you've got to collect these whispering eggs, which always spawn this massive amount of monstrosities that can kill you in normal mode quickly. So in survival mode, they can kill you in one or two hits. And there's bunches of them. So yeah, meanwhile you're getting crap for defenses, you know, it's all RNG, you know. I have a multi-tool that I haven't been able to upgrade because all the RNG goes towards increasing my ship storage or my exosuit storage. Nothing to improve my crappy little multi-tool, which has like 5 slots on it.
Right. Now this is.
Meanwhile, I've been watching the streamers. You know, almost every single one of them, boom, they get one or two to their multi-tool, and they get like 12 slots added to it.
Hmm.
So it's the fact it's all RNG. That really sucks, because yeah, you might get. Great! You might get, you know, cool shit. Your multi-tool might have, you know, the shotgun on it. Or you might get the pulse spitter, which is absolute garbage.
Nice.
Yeah. But
this isn't required, though, is it?
No. Okay. It's not required. Good. It's just, if you go all the way to the end of the expedition, you get a frigate for your fleet. That it's a living frigate, though. It's one of those, it's a Leviathan whale ship. And I really would like to have one.
Sure. Will there be other ways of getting one eventually?
Don't know. Right now, this is the only way.
Because since these are limited time expeditions.
Well, they've cycled them before.
Sure.
So people who didn't get the golden vector got a second chance to go get it. Same with all the other things.
Right, but not everybody. I haven't done them. Am I going to get them recycled for me? Probably not.
Well, who knows? They might do it again.
They might, but still, that's not exactly a really good option for getting that chip. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got 6 weeks, and I know you have it already, so you can go and do it.
Not everybody has it. Somebody who buys the game in a few months, like say when it goes on to Switch, if they don't recycle it, they don't get a chance at getting that awesome frigate.
Well, and they might do that because they can't just keep cranking out expedition after expedition.
They might, but that's still not really fair to them. There should be other ways to get the ship, or at least something in that same class. They shouldn't be locking certain things behind one-time or recycled
ownerships. I don't know if they
ships.
Are or aren't able to be gotten in other ways.
Right. I'm just saying. Anyway, so you're not having a good time in
I'm enjoying it to a point, but it's just frustrating knowing that if you die, you have to start all over again.
Yeah. I've been playing Merkborg.
Yay.
That's been fun. So, and my character hasn't died yet, which is actually playing Merkborg solo with just the core rules is actually kind of impressive. I'm pretty sure somebody made up some solo rules for Merkborg, but I'm not using them. I'm just doing the whole thing baseline. And I've been on the edge of doing the running and the screaming, but not quite. I haven't quite gotten there yet. I've been able to hold my ground. That's not going to last long, but at least I've been doing that, so I'm pretty proud of myself. Anyway, so would you like to move on to our first real topic?
Sure.
Cool.
Yet another topic about video games. How original.
So, Bealus, there's Trouble in Paradise over at Guild Wars 2, it appears.
Really now?
Yes. Apparently, there's some new legendary weapon skins available.
Mm-hmm. Zaitan skin.
But people are having difficulty getting it because it was designed poorly. Trolls are involved. It's a mess. Would you care to discuss it some?
Basically, ArenaNet has interesting design choices, and this is not a good one.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly.
Well, you should never have a failed event be what you're going after in this game, because it's open world. You've got tons of casuals who aren't out there trying to earn these legendary skins, they're just trying to play the events. And as far as they're concerned, you beat the event, you win, and you move on. So they're going out there and trying to succeed in the event, while all the other players who are trying to get these skins want it to fail so that this alternative boss will spawn and they can beat that boss and then get their credit. So like I said, it's a bad design because you've got people who aren't out trying to do this one thing, just playing the game. And they're being called trolls. Some of them, yes, there are some players who are actually actively trying to troll the event.
Yeah.
But in the majority of it, no. It's usually just players playing the game. This has been going on from day one. The players, they find a lucrative spot to grind. For the longest time, there was this one escort event in Cursed Shores where you'd go from one side of the mountain to the other. And going through this long tunnel, there were a bunch of spiders and other, you know, monsters that would the mobs that would spawn through here. And you would follow the event, kill everything until you got to the end of the thing. And instead of beating the event, you'd let them fail so that 5 minutes later, it would start over and you could do that long grind of all those mobs and just get tons of loot. So people would get furious because they've gone through this the whole thing and then somebody actually beats it. They're telling, you know, I mean, I remember them just getting furious at these one or two players who finish off the event because they don't know better.
Yeah, but apparently there are, and apparently ArenaNet has actually said that they're going to do something about this because of the issue.
Oh, it was a poor design. Like I said, a failed state should not be part of the win condition.
Right. If they want a boss that only pops up if a certain section fails to be needed to get the skin, then they should add that to the end of the event as an optional ending boss that pops up after everything is done, making people work for it.
No, all they have to do is what they did with the bandit boss. See, in the Central Tyrian maps, there's like four different zones that have these champion bandits. And if you kill a champion bandit, you get this little placard that gives you a much higher chance of having the legendary bandit captain or bandit commander spawn. And so people were going through and they were killing these champions, and eventually the legendary boss started popping up. Until enough people had it that it was almost every single time he would show up. Hmm. Why didn't they just do something like that?
It's an excellent question. Especially since this is not the first time this particular problem has popped up. They did the whole need to have a failed state in an event, in a particular event, back in Generation 2. Legendary weapons, and people were finishing it, whether on purpose, unknowingly, or to troll. At that time, it was the same exact problem, and ArenaNet goes and does the exact same thing again.
Well,
did they not learn?
Apparently not.
Or they just believe that maybe they know better than their players. That obviously their design is right, and it was just a few bad apples causing the problem. And yet, you would think that they would have people on staff that understand how players play. Whether they're trying to do it to finish, you know, they need that boss to actually complete in that event. For something, they need it for drops, or they're just trolling. Maybe they need to set up a new event, not rehashing old events. But that requires work. I thought better of ArenaNet than this. I really did.
Yeah, but if you think about it, this isn't that huge of an issue compared to a lot of other MMOs out there and the massive screw-ups they've done. This is fairly minor compared to a lot of the other ones out there.
Yes. This isn't New World level fucked up. That's for sure.
This is just, come on, guys. Pull your head out of your ass.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think I don't see Blizzard level of arrogance behind this.
No.
But at the same time, we didn't see that from Blizzard years ago either. The Blizzard that made early World of Warcraft was, you know, considered can do no wrong, just like ArenaNet was early on with Guild Wars 2. Oh, there was the minor problems here or there, but overall they were seen as really quite benevolent and skilled and doing what the players wanted, except for Heart of Thorns. But whatever.
That's Ooh. Just you.
Bumps in the road, no big deal. And it's not
if
more
you learn
just
how
me.
To play, Heart of Thorns isn't that bad.
I know a lot of people who don't like that expansion, but that's beside mm-hmm. the point. Point is, people saw them as, you know, being generally pretty benevolent and player-focused company. And perhaps they still are. But this does kind of smell a little bit of, you know, they got away with it last time, and hey, how big of a deal was it? Oh, wait, it turns out it was a really big deal. A lot of people were really pissed, so much so that they're rushing out a patch to fix it. Ah, interesting that. Maybe this time, getting smacked a second time, they're like, oh, shoot. Maybe we really did screw up. Maybe we shouldn't have done that. That kind of smells a little bit of, they're, you know, enjoying the smell of their own farts too much. To, steal a thought from South Park. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Driving too much of their Priuses, basically. I don't know. I actually, to be honest, thought better of the community. I mean, no MMO community is perfect. But let's be honest, the community in Guild Wars 2 is generally right up there amongst the best. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, most definitely.
I mean, I've talked for a long time about how awesome the community in Lord of the Rings Online tends to be. Not perfect, but really, really damn good. And Guild Wars 2, also really, really damn good.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there's trolls in everything. And
well, come on. You got a bunch of, you know, WoW refugees who that's all they really got to do in WoW was troll people for fun.
Yeah. It's better than doing dailies.
Pretty much.
But, you know, honestly, that actually makes a lot of sense, really, to be honest. I mean, think about it. These WoW refugees, I mean, what's going on in WoW right now anyway? A whole lot of nothing. And they don't even, I mean, they've announced Dragonflight, but no one knows when it's going to come out. Probably not for 9 months at least. You know, early 2023, I would guess. Because if they haven't announced it by now, usually 6 months beforehand, they're selling pre-orders. No sniff of that coming. So, what are these players out there doing? Probably playing other games. And New World sucks ass. Nobody's playing it right now. Nobody's playing Lord of the Rings Online except for hardcore fans. Lost Ark? Yeah, it lost the plot. It's kind of drifting. Final Fantasy XIV is mostly Final Fantasy XIV fans. There's some WoW players there too. But, you know, a lot of them have gone, hey, Guild Wars 2 is free. Let's go play that some again. Especially the wandering trolls and people just looking to cause problems. So, which I guess is basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just generally pathetic. But it was also completely avoidable, and that is really sad. Wouldn't you say?
Eh. It's kind of silly, but, you know, they'll fix it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they did put out a, where was that? Yeah, they had a link here in the Massively OP article. Bring that up real quick. See, from Ruby Bayer with ArenaNet. Hi all, we are aware of an issue with the last step of the collection for the Zaitan Legendary Weapon variants. We know a lot of you are eager to complete the collection, and we are working on a couple of updates to this event chain to help with that. We will be changing the collection step to require that you defeat the Risen High Wizard or successfully hold the Gates of Arrah. We plan to ship these changes with the June 7th game update. Thanks for your patience while we work on this. So, okay. That's, I don't know, about a week away from when y'all hearing this. So, that's not bad. That's a fairly quick response, I would say.
Yeah.
Even though this came out, like, last Friday. So, I mean, really, all it comes down to is just changing the triggers for when the skins will drop.
Well, it's actually a collection, so you're getting one item.
Right. But still, it's just like any other item dropping, you know, if you're looking to get loot. It's just, okay, it drops off of this boss, so they need to change when that boss triggers. Like I said, they could have changed it to where he triggers at the end of the event if it's successfully completed. Or if you manage, they leave it the way it is so that if you fail that step, great, cool, it triggers as normal and you can do it. Or there's an optional way to do it. That's all people need. And even if it means that you have to work a little harder for that other way to make it work, great. That's not a problem. Because you just come out there and you just hit it with gangbusters and slam through it. No problem. Well, still a problem. But whatever. There's still going to be... In theory, there's always a way for trolls to troll things. If it's, hey, you have to succeed on this step, they'll find a way to try and screw it up. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, trying to find ways to interfere, or they'll fill the area and then leave really quickly, causing the boss to be overpowered for the remaining players. Because doesn't it scale off of how many people are doing the event?
Uh-huh, it does.
So that would be a way to troll it.
De-escalates rather quickly, too.
Yeah. So it's not exactly effective. But if they want to get their lols, that would be a way to do it. Then again, who knows what lurks in the minds of trolls, because they're a bunch of assholes.
Are we done with this shit yet?
Okay, so any final thoughts, sir?
Not really. Having fun, I guess, with the Leviathan mission as it is.
Well, that's cool. There was one thing I wanted to address, which there usually is anymore. One more thing I want to address before we go. You know, recently I've had a lot of, I've been rather outspoken about Steve Jackson Games regarding the Girl Genius sourcebook and role-playing game.
Okay.
And I believe rightfully so. I believe their handling of the shipping of this book has been lacking, let's say. I believe that is a polite way of putting it. And I'm going to try and keep things polite. I know that's weird for me, but I'm going to try. So, The day, I think we did, what was it, two shows last time we recorded? Mm-hmm. So, a couple weeks ago, the day that first show came out, so I haven't had a chance to address it since, my copy of Girl Genius showed up. And I will say, it's in very good condition. It came shrink-wrapped. It was then covered in air packaging, so it was, you know, bubble packaged, so nice and safe. But I do have a complaint there. The shrink wrapping caused the corners of the book to curl in, which, if you're a collector, it now has immediately dropped to near mint. The book is now damaged. It's not a huge issue. You see that on a lot of books where they're curled in, but that's still an issue. That said, the book itself, I have no real complaint about. None. I mean, first of all, it is beautifully illustrated, as you would expect. I mean, the illustrations are all done by the Folios. So, it is freaking awesome. Gorgeous. It's exactly what you would expect from a source book about the Girl Genius webcomic. Not to mention a role-playing game based upon it.
Yeah.
Likewise, the source book sections discussing the history, the world of Girl Genius, all that, the different characters, all that information is really well put together. But, to a large degree, that was provided by the Folios. So, again, that's pretty much what you would expect, as the writing on the webcomic is superb, as we all know, for those of you who are fans. Now then, the game portion itself is, well, just fine. I don't really see anything to complain about. I mean, it's GURPS, 4th edition. It's, you know, if that's what you're into, well, great. This is my first GURPS book. We have a friend who is a hardcore GURPS fan. He could probably speak more to the specifics, whether this is a good or bad GURPS title. I expect, considering his likes and dislikes, that he would actually love this book regardless, but that's just me. I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. But it looks interesting enough. I have not had a chance to play it yet, so we will see. But yeah, I mean, if I had received this book without all the shipping bullshit that occurred, would I feel any better about the book? I had to ask myself, am I just mad at it because of the shipping issues? No, it is what it is. It's fine. This is not the best book I've ever gotten. It's far from the worst. I'm glad I bought it. I feel it is well worth the $50 I pledged on it, even though it probably still should have come with a free PDF, but that's neither here nor there. It's no big deal. Am I going to run out and buy the PDF now as well, which I had considered doing? No, probably not. I don't envision using this book enough to warrant having a PDF available on a tablet or on my phone. You've got a book. So that's probably going to be enough. I really wish I could show you this book and you know, see what you think about it. I'm pretty sure you would look at it and go, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, it's a good series.
It's an excellent series. I love Girl Genius. And I will say this. This source book and role-playing game has encouraged me to get back into Girl Genius, which means I'm going to have to start over from the beginning. I have fallen away from the series in recent years. Need to get back into it. And I'm just going to start over again and run through it. Because I've tried listening to the audiobooks. I have the first three of their published novels as audiobooks, which basically was just converting the webcomics into actual books. But that's not the same. It really isn't the same as reading the webcomic, you know? But, yeah. It's Girl Genius, source book, and role-playing game. It's a thing that exists. If you're a fan of the webcomic, you probably already own it. Or, if you don't, you might want to, because I think it's worth the money. And I checked their website at Steve Jackson Games. Currently, they are only selling, well, as they have been, only selling the PDF. Holy crap, they raised the price of the PDF. It's up to $40 now.
For just the PDF?
For the PDF.
No, thank you.
And the hardcover is still suggested retail price of $50. But they're not selling the hardcover yet. Although they did post in their monthly GURPS news update that it's going to be coming out. They have it in-house now, their hardcovers. And so they're going to be selling them through Warehouse 23, like they should have originally. They're going to be selling them directly from their website soon, which means they'll have them in stores soon as well, hopefully. They were going to try and get some into some stores. I don't know if it'd be coming to a friendly local game store near you, but it's worth taking a look at. Anyway, I did link to the page for Girl Genius Sourcebook and Role-Playing Game over at Steve Jackson Games in the show notes. So if anyone's interested, you can go over there and give it a look and see if you want to buy in on this puppy. Do you have any thoughts on that, sir?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, if you saw it, I think you'd probably save your money and get yourself a copy, but that's just me.
I don't see a point in buying it if I'm not going to be playing it. You know, if it's not something I just feel like I have to play.
Well, yeah, there's... You are actually playing, though, sir. So, you have options. Anyway, so, I guess until next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending?
Well, look at that. You made it through an entire episode. Good for you. Now, here's your prize. Ads. Please drop by whatever service you heard this abomination of a podcast on, and give the show a great review. You can also come by our website scormy.com, check out our blogs, podcasts, and other content, and leave some comments. Finally, join our Discord server. You can listen to us record Loop Mechanics live, and chat with other fans. You'll find the link on the website. Until next time, I'm the digital voiceover guy, telling you to kindly fuck off.